Welcome back to Greenbox Gaming Plays Delta Green Impossible Landscapes. My name is Joe. I will be your handler for this operation, and I am joined by three of the most cooperative and professional people I've ever known. starting, of course, with Jean, Blaine Benedict.
I'm so humbled to be first. Hello. Hi. It's good to see you.
Yeah. And of course, Dace playing Benji.
Boner Fest.
Okay. And again, last for the second time in a row, purpose, Brad playing Hank.
This is bullshit.
You can read into that whatever you want.
Does your mom know about John? In all seriousness.
Does your mom know about John?
Like that he exists?
Yes. Yeah. I just want to be acknowledged in this world.
For those of you who weren't a part of our pre-episode bullshit, which is all of you, my parents were leaving, and I was saying goodbye to them. They were visiting, and they said, my mom said, well, tell Dace and Brad hello, but she didn't mention John.
Joe, this is why you were giving that shit-eating smile. It's because you're guilty. You're guilty.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I'm sorry. The thing is...
The weird thing was... Joe didn't even get up from his desk. He didn't even look away from his monitor. His mom gave him a peck on the cheek, and his head just gave the slightest little tilt. He just kept staring at the screen.
Well, the thing is not everyone's mom can be as supportive and actually listen to our podcast like Dace's mom.
These are empty words. She no longer listens.
Oh. Oh yeah, I haven't said in a while,
no,
but hey,
she's
mom.
Done. Empty words.
I hope you're
nope,
caught
she's
up.
Still listening.
She's no longer listening. She has better things to do.
What?
True.
Where did we lose her? Do you know what it was?
Don't blame her.
No, I don't know where the drop off was. That would be some
what
good
was
customer
said?
Discovery, though.
What twas said to offend her?
Why? What was it? What was it that really all of it? Yeah.
I have no comment on this, other than hi, mom.
if you deign to listen again, so last time, the last three episodes, our banter has been kind of video game oriented, and I got one more for you guys. Okay, all right. Be locked and loaded. Is there anything that you're actually looking forward to in the video game world that's coming out? Is there something that you are hopeful, or even if you're pretty sure that you're going to get burned by it, but you're still hopeful, which is...
Does fully immersive tactile VR porn count? Hi, mom.
He also just gave like an anime piece while he said that.
Oh, Dace, this is why we can't take you anywhere. It's that kind of stuff. No is the answer.
But
it doesn't count. You have to pick something else.
It may actually burn you. So just, I'd be a late adopter of that technology. From a professional perspective, there is risk of fire.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Oh no. Well, you know, I there was a period of time in my life where I worked at a hospital. I was a pathology tech. And
oh no, it's the stuff up the butt.
It's
the stuff up the butt.
I've seen a lot of things that have been removed from people's bodies, you know, I feel like that's where we're going with the immersive VR experience. Is right, we're already in that situation. We're just gonna get even further
the
in.
Good news,
pun intended.
Is that we're going to get better at it?
Are we?
We should.
I picture Dace creating his bloodless character. With mods in this new VR porn. He just has two battle axes.
That's psychotic. What am I doing with the axes?
That's terrible.
That's some Seven shit.
Okay.
That's
Kevin
you.
Spacey.
You did it, not me.
You said the move.
How dare you?
Okay. Well, okay. Actually, but okay. On this point, so deviating from the original question,
Joe tries
what
to
is,
wrangle
what do you
us back.
Yeah, as I try to raise my hand, what game do you think would actually be done well in VR, like a game that was not done in it originally, but like would actually be really, really good?
And I give the same answer
for Skyrim.
I mean, obviously Skyrim.
I think they did.
It's always
they did
Skyrim.
A VR version of Skyrim.
Yeah, I think you can do it.
but that must be exhausting. Hey,
have y'all seen... So I know John has a lot of experience, or some experience of VR. Have y'all played VR?
I've not.
All?
Just
okay.
At Robert's house.
Yeah.
Why are you laughing so hard? Can we not talk about this on the podcast? Okay. Well, like I'm concerned that I would be that I would get seasick.
No, you will. Yeah. It's not good enough yet.
Because I'm pretty good about motion sickness, but when I was there was one time like when I was actually when I was in the army, and when I was looking at. Okay, when you're in a tank and you're in the gunner's seat and you're looking at this thing called it's not the actual sight, but it's like a wide vision
periscope
lens that you can look through. Sure. You're looking at the periscope. When you dive, like in your tank.
Those are North Korean tanks that have periscopes.
But like if you're looking, there's this like thing called, we call the fishbowl. And if I look at, when I'm in that position, I was only in that position during training. But when I was in that position and we were moving, I would get really seasick. I wonder if I would get seasick from VR.
Anybody gets seasick in VR at the moment because you have a heater on your face and it's really choppy. So even at like really good frame rates, it's a little weird. But that's just me.
Probably the
I don't get that. Like I played.
I don't get it either.
Mm. Yeah.
Think the coolest thing for me would be like some like space flight simulator, like Elite Dangerous would be dope.
No, dude, in also VR. Done.
What about Dead Space?
Done in VR. No, not Dead Space.
Dead Space would be dope.
No, Dead Space. Too scary.
But I was going to say the biggest restriction to VR for me is like, you know, you have to calibrate like a box that you're playing in, mm-hmm. and you can't go past the perimeter of the box.
Right.
But I was watching a video the other day, and like in certain, I don't know, I guess like arcades, they have these rigs set up that like hold you by mm-hmm. the waist.
Oh, and you wear socks. You wear socks, and it's like a really slick surface that you can basically walk on.
Yeah.
It's like you're fully mobile and immersed, and like I super want to do that.
So
it's so fun.
And then Disney came out with those floor mats.
Yeah,
I don't know how well they were.
So this walking, this rig you're talking about, the military has had those for simulations training for decades.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Like, and I never actually saw someone use them, but they were always, whenever we went into simulation, they had them for dismounted infantry.
And that's why the best Beat Saber players in the world are from the military.
Little known fact.
On the map, right?
That takes on that's a really dark term when you consider all the first person view VR drone warfare that's going on right now. Oh, just people playing Beat Saber.
Man, I was thinking about that the other day, about how the military uses literal video game controllers for controlling drone strikes.
Dude, when that happened, like when they did that, when they're like, we're going to start using Xbox controllers for our drones and for equipment, like there was this huge uproar from like, it wasn't a huge uproar, but there was this a bit of an uproar from like the older generation of military people who were like, why can't they just learn to use the military thing? But like, it was like,
it makes total
they
sense.
Already know how to use it. Like you have like these young people coming in.
Efficient. Like it makes total sense.
So you support drone strikes.
Okay. All right. That's
veering a little, of course.
We're not doing this. Military force can be used and misused.
As can
that
video
is a,
games.
It is a good statement. As can
and games. VR.
On a different note, it is wild to me how the two driving forces of technology are military and porn.
And not in that order.
Are they? Or are you just saying that?
No, it's true. I mean, it's mostly true.
I said it confidently, okay. So it must be true.
Okay.
The thing is the peripheral devices that they're supporting the development of, they're different. They're different devices, but...
Same origins, though.
They're from Aliens Area 51. Exactly. Like, they're, it's all like reverse engineered.
Okay.
VR.
Important thing, if you do go and get to have a chance on some VR, go and play Half-Life Alyx. That is worthwhile. Just
see it, I heard that was brain. Good.
It is actually phenomenal. It is like six.
I have actually never played any of the Half-Life stuff. It is one of those. It was one of those kind of classic PC gaming things I was probably a little bit young when it first came out, and I just never swung back around to it.
I remember seeing Half-Life 2 advertised in like the game magazine, but I've never played it either.
Yeah,
I don't know if it'll hold out. Does it hold up?
Wait, you've never played it?
It's worth playing.
It's phenomenal.
Really?
Not. I mean, the graphics probably don't hold up, but the gameplay is just. I mean, am I crazy or isn't it widely known as like
as been like one of the
best video games?
What? Well, I thought it was just like so like is a classic because of how what it was at the time. That's what I'm saying. But if it still holds up,
it's a perfect mix of like first person shooter and puzzles and like chase missions and storytelling. It's phenomenal.
Yeah, I know it's...
I mean, it's not Skyrim, but, you know.
Well, I know it's highly regarded, right? And I think that's... And that's not for nothing. And again, like, yeah, it's like, you know, even you look at Skyrim now, I don't know, like, you can get some mods that can beef up Skyrim to the point where it's, like, absolutely just gorgeous beyond what anyone ever thought it could be. But it's like, yeah, things are going to have restrictions or are not going to be as strong graphically as maybe they could have been or, you know, what they appear to be at the time. But, I mean... Didn't Portal come from Half-Life? Mm-hmm. Like, isn't that like the same engine and the same writers and stuff like that? And Portal was, known for being extremely good. I've played through a little bit of the first one.
That was one big experiment in doing tutorials. Like, that's what Portal started with. Like, they started with some cool
tutorial
shit. It's just one. It's a masterclass in making a tutorial for puzzle solving. It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
We had John and I had a good time playing Portal when he was in Memphis.
Yeah,
this last time.
Co-op Portal.
It's really like fun Nick co-op shit. Play.
Yeah.
Yeah. Super fun.
Well, speaking of cooperative problem solving with your friends, you guys in the our big old game of Impossible Landscape just reached out to another friend to solve some problems.
I'm reserving space for
John's
questions.
John's water bottle is blurred
before
out.
Before
it looks like a dildo.
Let me say my piece. I have questions after the recap. Okay.
All right. Last time.
Pause.
Last time. there is no editing. Last time, the crew was moving up to Chicago to investigate some of the stuff about Victor Carell and this kind of what you guys assume to be a bit of a Delta Green cover-up of something that happened up in Chicago. You guys made your way and you got pulled over by some cops that were fake cops. And I'm gonna let you know that didn't have to go that way. The whole throwing the I mean, to be honest, like, so if, let's say Benji would have unloaded on these guys with the AK, right? From the back of the van, right? You would have destroyed their cop car. You would have left a shot up cop car on the side of the road. That would have been a problem. Let's say you had a 10 round long shootout. Well, people definitely would have seen that, right? People driving by, right? Because you literally had one round before a car drove by. Mm-hmm. But the fact that just the way things worked out and the way you guys came up to do with it, and this is, you know, you guys saw me roll the luck rolls, roll the amount of rounds that you had and stuff like that. It just turned out the way it was. You guys managed to gun these guys down and throw them in the back of this cop car or the back of the van.
Fucking bros.
Like, it's probably one of the most competent things this team has ever done.
It's because they're men.
How dare you?
You know men. I'm right.
Yeah, it's because they're men.
You look me in the face and you tell me I'm wrong.
We are a very competent group. Okay, Joe?
Of course. But then the question came up, well, holy shit, what do we do? And Dace, being the metagaming min-maxer that we all know he is.
That's me.
That's him. Said, hey, we should find a green box. And then I think it was Brad slash Hank that actually said, "What about what if we contact one of these demons?" Whoever said it.
It's probably that. And guy you guys have that your mom doesn't know about.
Yeah, I didn't say that.
Right, that guy. I don't think she knows your name either, so we'll just call you that. But <it's>, but you guys decide to reach out, and what better demon to reach out to than Furcus, a demon that is shown as being a knight with a long beard on a pale horse carrying a sharp weapon. What a
perk, with a hoary head.
With a hoary head. Which apparently means gray. Apparently. But you guys decided to do that. And right as we left off, you heard the voice. A voice that here, you probably are unfamiliar with it now. The voice of none other than Axel Armstrong.
I will roll for recognition on that shit.
Just stay where you are. I'll be right there. Question, is the payphone you're speaking on speakerphone?
We're all on the
phone. We're always on speakerphone.
We're all on the phone. Always. With our ear up to the phone.
So you want to tell me...
We met Axel.
You want to tell me that you guys all have your ear. You're all crammed in this phone same booth. One.
Look, I realize why you're doing this.
Uh-huh.
And yes. Yeah. I realize that we're about to roll a sanity check. But we're always on speakerphone. You know that about us.
I don't think you're all...
I think Benji should roll to see if he recognizes the voice. Because we met him in the middle of the desert, and we got a whole bunch of guns, and we made friends with him.
Yeah, you did. Okay.
No, I'm not in the phone booth. I'm not in the phone booth in all reality.
Okay.
Oh, now y'all are back. You fucking cowards.
You cowards.
So wait, I had a question earlier. I was going to ask. I didn't bring it up, but last time I was wondering why Axel didn't stop us when we're being chased by Delta Green or the program.
Well,
why did these two nameless meatbags stop us instead of somebody who, according to the storyline, was pursuing us?
I have my doubts that he's actually a demon, or this specific demon.
He must
certainly.
Be.
Well, I guess because these were like magic coins that you found and just put in.
Rolled for sanity.
Yeah, I guess why else? Yeah, true.
That's not exactly what you rolled sanity on.
I had like some theory that Axel. You know, I don't know all the details about it, but Joe's mentioned where there's like two sects of DG at this point.
Yeah.
And he was like another sect that was, I think they're more prone to just like try to destroy, you know, any weird shit than the...
Which would be the old school.
Right.
That would be Delta Green proper.
The outlaws.
Rather than...
And I had a theory he might be with them. For whatever reason.
There's the outlaws and there's the program. In the modern day.
Do our characters know that?
Okay, this is where you guys are pretty good about this, so I don't really worry about that. Because of those who are listening as well, this might be a bit interesting for you as well. In 1995, when this started, there was no program. There was only the outlaws. That was it. That was DG. That was Delta Green. Period. End of story. After 9/11, the program was established, and they basically broke ranks with the outlaws into two groups. The outlaws, who are very much destroy it all, it can't be trusted, they're very much old school spy craft, they're the ones with green boxes and shit, right? That's the outlaws. And then there's the program, and the program is like, okay, we're going to control this stuff, but we're going to try to suppress the unnatural, but we're also going to try to utilize it. And that's very anti-old school Delta Green, right?
Who did we meet
and
with?
And that's the split.
Who did we meet with at the airport?
Who did you meet with? Oh, man, that's a good question.
That seems very organization to me. Because when I think of organization, I think people like in higher up government positions.
I don't know if we can know.
I feel like...
But remember, you were actually met in 2007. Marcus pulled you back in. This was in the in-between. between 1995 and 2015, you guys were brought in by Marcus and told, hey, there's this other thing going on. If you get contacted, you need to know that they're not us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
That actually really clears things up for me.
Really? How so?
Never mind.
Okay. False alarm. Never mind.
I'm very pregnant. Pause. Nope.
Never mind. I'm still lost.
So close. So bad tone.
So close.
Work through some things.
But yeah. Well, and that's the thing. It's like, and that's the kind of stuff when we do a debrief and like we really kind of lay stuff out. Like that's the kind of stuff I'd love to talk to you about.
No, I am the king in yellow.
That's right. You, Dace.
Yes, me, the human person, not Benji. I am the king in yellow. Don't you see?
Don't you see?
It's me.
Have you
it's
seen always it?
Been me.
Have you seen it?
Have you seen
it? Joe, you've put us in a hard position now, like in this scenario, because now we're going to have to disconnect the fact that we know Axel may be hunting us down as players, but then as the people in the game, we
yeah,
don't know
I feel
that.
Like we would like we would wait on them. Yeah,
so here's the thing. Here's what you did. You guys made a call. Benji made a call. You guys, and Benji comes back to the van. He's like, hey guys, I talked to a demon. Everything's going to be okay. And but you guys are aware that Delta Green is hunting you. You know that.
Right.
You don't know that Axel
is
a part of Delta Green.
So now we do.
Okay.
No, we can't be sure.
You don't know if he is or if he isn't.
So I, as Benji, will just interact with Axel as if the last time we talked was in Vegas.
Yeah, out in the desert. Yeah. The mini.
All right, that'd be the last time you saw him. Yeah.
Burning.
So we're still friendly.
Yep.
Oh man, this is a challenge.
A great twist.
This is the meta challenge.
This is a great twist. Well done.
So. Yeah. Yeah, I think we're definitely going to wait on them. There's no reason why we would not trust the. But while we're waiting, can I get into this and start do a little search on the cop car?
Yeah.
Like while Benji's on the phone, Hank's searching the cop car.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Go ahead and give me that. And this would definitely be a search roll. This would not be alertness. So go ahead and give that to
me. Damn failure.
65. I would have given you a 20% on that because you probably have plenty of time. It's not like you're really strapped for time sitting here. But it still would have failed. So you look through, you don't find anything particular. I would say one of the big things that you do find, Hank, as a law enforcement officer, I'll go ahead and give this to you, because of your background, but also because of your criminology skill, like the radios, like the setup in the cop car. This is obviously a car that you think was probably an older. It's like it's not like a because this is 2015. It's not like an Explorer or something. It's a little bit of an older, like SUV type cop car. It's got like 300,000 miles on it. You think this was probably an old cop car that was sold at auction, like this. And this happens all the time. Governments sell off old, the government sells off old cop cars and old, equipment and stuff like that. And even the radio that's stuck in it is like a civilian style kind of like a pretty complicated, pretty advanced CB radio. And there's actually like a police scanner just sitting on top of it and plugged into the, plugged into the cigarette lighter. This is not an actual police setup 100%, which you already kind of knew that. But I will also give you one thing for free. Beyond that, in the back, there is a bag. And as you open this, this is only one thing, which is this is something we've talked about previously. This is a bag of disappearing. It has what looks like some sort of... they have the one. It's like a small duffel bag. It has zip ties and duct tape.
Okay.
And like, damn. It looks like syringes, like all in a little bag and stuff like this. Like,
That's handy.
This is a bag of disappearing. This is a...
John's got a good point. There are three of us and only one bag.
There's plenty in there for all three of
but
you.
Not like a body bag. It's more disappearing.
It's not a body bag. No, no. Gotcha. This is a Hank this will, is a kidnap somebody bag.
Yeah. Some Hank will take that and throw it in the van.
Just on top of the bodies.
Yeah. No, for us to use that makes maybe sense. Later yeah. if we need.
What kind of situation are we with the attendant? Is there an attendant? Is there a little shop? Are there cameras?
This is like a very small convenience store. I would say this is pretty rural. Let me roll a dice here real quick. That's a 51. There are some cameras.
Shit.
Okay. You don't know if they go off anywhere or anything, like if it's all centralized, if it's like a CCTV, so like all there, or if it goes elsewhere. There are a few cameras. They seem to be the only semi-modern amenity in this little kind of middle-of-the-nowhere gas station.
Okay. Is there anything else?
This is not the kind of place that a family on vacation stops if they have an option for another place.
Okay.
This is like a, we need gas now, or God, I'm starving. Or something, and they have like a little hot box, very small place, you know.
Is there anything out of the ordinary?
Hot dogs on rollers.
Anything out of the ordinary?
Yeah.
We'll go ahead and roll me that alertness roll.
Well,
what's wrong with the hot dogs?
Would an occult...
Are they safe to eat?
I'm thinking extra weird out of the ordinary. Or was that still...
No, roll alertness.
Alertness, okay. That's a 53.
That's another failure.
51.
Okay. Let me look at something real quick. Because I'm interested here. I'm going to go to Google Maps. I'm going to look at Boston to Chicago. Let's look at the map. I'm actually interested because I want to give this as much of a real world flavor as possible. I'm actually kind of interested in where you actually come through. Let's see. Yeah, because you have to come all the way through Indiana. That's right. Okay, yeah, you guys are like right on the suburbs. So we'll actually say you guys are in Indiana as opposed to Illinois because I don't know my own geography of my own nation. You guys are near...
Now, what does an Indiana accent sound like versus an Illinois accent?
I have no idea. I have no idea what either
we
sounds like.
We are getting way into the weeds right now. So my alertness we are getting in the weeds. Has put us in Indiana.
So your alertness has failed. Okay. Yes, you're in Indiana. You guys, your alertness is like, oh shit, we're actually in Indiana, not
this
Illinois this whole time.
No, fuck.
Ah, fuck.
Wrong state entirely.
You guys, you look around, you don't see anything interesting. There are a few, there's like a, you know, there's like a trucker is like pumping his stuff full of gas, and you guys have pulled over here to the side. And to be honest, you guys look like cops. Like, you know, you have your like, I don't know, are you guys wearing your, you're not wearing your FBI windbreakers.
Probably not.
But you have, do you have your badges on your hips?
Yeah, I think so. Especially after that incident.
Well, and okay. You now have a cop car. Mm-hmm. You have this older SUV that just has state police on the side of it. And you're with an unmarked white van. Mm-hmm. It's a very police-looking thing, right? Like, most people would look at that. If I saw that someplace, I'd be like, well, those are obviously cops.
Did you say there was a trucker?
So it's like, you might get, like...
There was a trucker getting some gas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll say there's, like, someone...
I think Benedict is going to go talk to
those big dairy tankers.
Wait.
Okay.
We do have to figure out the Indiana accent, so this is smart.
Hello there.
Hi, I'm a trucker. I'm not from here.
You were immediately suspicious. Get on the bonnet.
he sees you come up. He sees you have a pistol on your hip and you have a badge
from,
on your hip. He's
from like, around you?
No, officer, I'm not.
All right. Very good.
I'm a trucker. I travel a lot, drive a lot. and I'm wondering where this is going. I'm really busy. I gotta go.
Okay, we're gonna take the story elsewhere. Bye. Well, have a good day and be safe.
Hey, what's your name, brother?
He gives you the finger and gets in his fucking truck and leaves.
All right. Joe's not rolling with these punches.
As this is happening, as this shenanigans is happening, we fade out of this scene with Benji going, "Hey, what's your name?" as this trucker drives off and hangs a finger out the window. We fade out of this and onto that black unmarked sedan. From the back this time instead of from the front, we see that in the back seat this female agent who was with Axel before. You see her, she's taking off her blood-stained kind of blazer top and button-up shirt. She's taking it off and putting on a plain, like, dark color, like, navy t-shirt, fresh out of a bag, right? She's, like, in the back seat, like, changing, like, putting it on. And right before she does that, she reaches up and turns the rearview mirror up so that Axel, like, can't look at her. But he is not paying attention at all. He has a phone up to his ear. "Stay where you are. I'm coming to you." Click. As he hangs up the...
What? I don't even have a chance to talk to him?
No. He hung... No, we're past that.
Okay.
He hangs up the flip phone, and he sticks it in his pocket. And she's, like... And she says, as she's pulling this shirt on, and she's like pushing her bloody clothes down to a trash bag, she's like was that the office? He's like, "No, something else came up. Bit of a side gig of mine. I'm gonna have to leave this in your hands for a bit, yeah, you don't mind." And she stops. She's like, "What the hell are you talking about? No, we're not done. We have so much we have to do here." Like, she is, like, her mind is blown. She's like, "What the fuck are you talking about? Not only did we just burn down the top floor of the Boxer Hotel, but now we've got a line on this construction site we have to go clean up. No, we don't, we don't have, like, you can't go." And he's just like, and he literally stops. He stops the car at a red light and gets and opens the door and steps out. And she's in the back seat and just eyes wide, hands up, and just like, "Where the fuck are you going?" And he literally gets up and just starts walking across the street and puts his hand up and hails a cab. And the last thing we see is her just, I mean, she's cussing, just a solid stream of curses. And she clambers up into the front seat with her freshly, you know, put on navy shirt and slams the door and reaches into her own back pocket and pulls out a phone and just peels out from the red light, because now people are honking because the light's turning green. She throws up a bird to the person behind her honking as she's putting a phone to her own phone to her ear. She's like, yeah, hey, it's me. We have a problem. And then we fade back up into your crew. And you guys are now all I imagine leaning up against the side of the van, which is slowly leaking blood. Like, there's like a close up camera shot of underneath the van, and there's like a slow drip that from an angle looks like it might be transmission fluid. It's not transmission fluid. It's blood. So Benji, as you guys are all eating hot dogs from those little rolly things.
Benji, what exactly, who did you phone? What are we waiting for here?
Well, here's the thing, Benedict. I tried to call a demon, and instead I got Axel. You remember Axel from Vegas?
Did you roll that to know that that's who you were going to get? That's who you were talking to?
What? Sorry.
Oh,
what do you
to
mean?
Actually recognize whether it was Axel. No, I don't think you rolled it. Maybe you need to roll that.
You know, I'll give it to you.
He's got a very distinct voice.
It's a pretty memorable character in this entire saga. That's
ooh.
Ooh.
If he'd led with that.
Yeah.
You mean the guy yeah. that we got all those weapons from in Las Vegas?
Yeah, that's the one. Weirdest did thing.
You,
I don't.
Did you phone him? Do you know his number?
I've got a pretty good handle on occultic knowledge, and I thought I was calling a literal demon, and then Axel answered, so I'm not real sure what's going on here. Hmm. He said, stay where you are, I'm coming to you.
Did you get the impression that he might have been hunting us?
You for fucking, a while. You disgusting metagamer.
Let me roll for metagaming. I have a 59 in that.
I hope. So he's helped us in the past.
I got a failure.
He's helped you in the
65
past.
65 over 59 well, but this for
even, metagaming. But this even leads you... But it's interesting because as you... with your occultic knowledge, actually roll me an unnatural. That's something you haven't rolled yet for Benji for this particular interaction.
Roll yeah, me I that mean, okay. Could Benji? It's like I don't. Never mind. Let's
see what we get here. I want
unnatural.
I'm like Jean in Reverberation. I want to give you things.
25.
Yes.
Under 28.
Nice.
A natural
give it to us, fucking pays off.
That's awesome.
That's an unnatural success.
Although we don't really want unnatural. This is bad, actually. Oh,
love
sanity
it.
Loss.
Yeah, it is bad. Out. I love
Benji,
it.
Benji, you know what? Go ahead and roll that sanity check.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah, gladly. Rolling a sanity check. Da da da. Failure.
Take one sanity damage.
That tracks. All right.
As you are sitting here thinking about this, you think about the fact that you ran into Axel at all. This was something that Benji had actually originally kind of done through his underworld contacts. Remember, you have a black market skill. Yeah. And that seems like so long ago now, but this is Axel was someone that you had kind of rustled up via that. When Benji, when you kind of take this 30,000 foot, you know, kind of view of the situation, you think that it really, and especially with kind of Benji where his sanity is at this point in time, you even think of that thing, that big music box contraption in Barbas's yeah. house. And you think of it running through the story. And you think of the bit where, even where you saw the little Axel pop up when you met him, because he was a part of your story. He was one of the little characters. But you remember, maybe just now, you remember something odd. You remember that on one side of Axel's little paper cutout was Axel, but on the other side was this armor-clad demon.
Mm. Holy shit.
And that even the way that they, that, you know, and you kind of think, and as you think, you're like, there are these other creatures, these other entities. Maybe even when you first ran into, what was her name? Malthus. You know, it's like when you ran into Malthus, like same thing, like on one side a human, but on the other side, this depiction of this kind of demonic, twisted figure. And you think that, and as the more and more Benji thinks of it, it seems that, again, these are set pieces that are all in their place, called onto the stage by the director at the perfect time to be who they need to be when they need to be. It is at this time, because of this little experience that Benji is having, that Benji, your head is pulled back toward the payphone, which you see is now hanging off of the hook. You put it back on the hook, but now it's hanging down. And from this distance, you can barely hear that there's talking on the other side.
Good.
What the hell?
Benji approaches the phone, you know, like physical glance, and slowly reaches down, picks it up.
Yeah.
Puts it to his ear.
You hear another familiar voice. Another voice that you know, that you encountered kind of recently. You hear the voice of Timothy Bale, King Bile. Mm. You hear...
What's he saying?
It sounds like he's giving instructions. you hear the other side of the you can hear them talking. Whoever he's talking to, it's staticky and grainy, but he seems to respond to it. You hear him say, no, it's in the mansion, but Lundeen has to build it first. No, just send Asa. Send Asa, he'll do. No, he collects it. I think you have to drink it, I think. Yeah, from their, it's not from their eyes, but that's close enough. Yeah, that, and then like there's like a car that goes by. And it's loud. The car is loud. And he pauses when the car goes by. And you hear, We're being listened to. Click.
What?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Are you guys King Bile, Biles
in the mansion? That's the first mention of the mansion, yes? It's in the mansion.
Yeah.
And who then has to build it first?
And then, you know, they
have to drink it.
Well, when we were actually in Carcosa in the psych ward, it was, they were draining people's eyes and they were calling it something. I forgot.
Patsu.
Patsu.
Yeah.
The psychologist was, for whatever reason.
You have to drink it.
And it makes me think, like you said, this whole play thing, it makes me think that Biles, maybe somewhat of the showrunner or like a stage manager, so to speak.
Yeah. And he told you as much when you guys had talked to him.
Oh, he did. Okay.
Remember, he had told you that his job was to, that everyone had plays their part, and his part is to make sure everyone is on their mark.
Okay. Right? Yeah. So he is like the stage manager.
Well, and maybe Hank's having this thought, and maybe you look up to the highway as a truck goes by. And you see that the truck driver on the highway is staring right at you. And as your eyes come up to meet him, his eyes snap back forward. And it's like one of those big box trucks. And the truck drives forward and drives past you. But the further down it gets, so you can kind of see the back of the trailer, there is no trailer. It just has a box built up on one side.
Oh my God.
Like on the side facing you.
This is why I check weird stuff.
Let's go.
We can't.
So,
we can't get away from this.
Roll that sanity check. Is that where this is going?
I would say yes, but Hank is immune to helplessness. It's damaged for these purposes.
At this point.
So,
good on you, Hank.
So, are you guys going to stay here?
Yeah, that's what I was trying to get at.
I mean,
let's have that conversation.
Yeah, let's have this conversation in character.
So, fellas, I just talked to Axel, who I just had a revelation. He might be human/demon. Can we trust him? What do y'all think?
Can we trust him?
Well, we had Malthus.
Of course you can.
And Malthus, who delivered some good weaponry for us.
Yeah, it was a good break. Maybe all these demon folk ain't so bad.
Right.
Yep.
It is.
Yep.
Odd to say, but back in Clarksdale, and well, I don't know. There's always positive and negatives with these folks, you know. Like contractual type stuff. You got to give something to get something.
But not always. We've got a contract with Ed, and we've yet to see what's going to happen from not fulfilling that. But we did leave him our number to tell him, you know, we'll renegotiate, but we'll see.
Oh, I'm sure it'll be fine.
I'm sure it will be totally fine.
Everything will be good.
Well, if we don't, we need some way to get rid of these bodies. That's the, I mean, if the, our experience so far, at least as far as I'm concerned, as odd as it sounds, they've only been beneficial.
You should definitely
honestly.
I mean,
I mean, honestly, they've been more beneficial than our handlers, anybody to do with DG. They don't give a shit.
Except for Joe. Except for Marbus. Oh, sorry, Marcus. Marbus.
Marbus?
Yeah, the bastard.
Who was Barbus?
Barbus. Barbus? Marbus Marcus.
True, you're right.
Barbus he was not suck. A nice person.
But he was also... he was our handler, too, though. And a
there's our handler, I don't know how many missions y'all been on, but there's this one handler named Foyle. He's real
shithead. Shitbag.
He's a fucking asshole. I don't know. You worked with him before.
You would not know him.
Wait a second. I'll say. Quick question. What year did the Reverb Races take place?
It was around this time.
This year.
Yeah, there's definitely.
About this time, a red 2004 Ford Mustang drives by on the highway. with a Louie who doesn't know what's awaiting him heading towards Chicago.
I like that.
Amazing.
But whatever we decide, we should decide now. We either have to bury these bodies, dump them somewhere, or decide we're gonna wait for this individual.
Well, do we want to split? Maybe one of us waits and the others deal with the bodies and come back when we can. We are in the desert, right? In Indiana.
Well, the whole point of the
it's not desert. Desert.
Yeah. Where are we?
It's like forested.
I don't know your people's country. Where do you bury bodies in this kind of bio?
Well, I thought that was
look. I know how we do it where I'm from.
I thought that was the whole point of the green box. So if we're gonna bury the bodies, then why wait around for the green box?
Right.
So this area is like. Like kind of like flat but like pretty heavily wooded where there's not a town.
Perfect.
Again, you guys are kind of on the backside of nowhere, kind of like weird little, it's not like on a major highway but like kind of like little bump in the road gas station.
I say we go, we deal with these bodies, two of us go or one of us. I think I could probably do this by myself, and the other two can wait here if you want, or I don't know, Benji, what do you think?
But what's
about
the point of the green box? Is what I'm saying. If we're gonna dump the bodies somewhere else,
resources.
Just general.
Like,
what do you think? I just need to know what you guys are gonna
do. My head hurts.
Yeah, the green boxes are they pretty much like loot drops? We're gonna get some kind of equipment, okay. Or is this,
not
is
always? Not always.
Yeah, here's okay. I've got a solution, cool. Possibly. Like out of character, I really want to see Axel again, but I don't think we as characters would hang around because this is some fishy shit. So,
maybe what if we just like leave a note and tell Axel where we're going, and then go ahead and take care of these bodies somewhere in like the barrens.
That seems,
you know, yeah. Well, yeah. Hank sees the blood dripping from the back. He's like, yeah, maybe we don't have time to wait around on this guy.
Okay.
So I'm down for that. Let's leave a coded message at the
on the phone booth.
Payphone.
Yeah.
The cat is home, but the litter box ain't full. He'll know.
Is that
Benedict
is that
peers,
we're going with?
Peers over his shoulder as he's writing this, be like, okay, Benji, I love the style, but do we need to give him any useful information?
Well, put your number under there, underneath that.
Oh, right. Good. All right.
So we'll put that on the phone booth.
You're just going to put your number for a good time. Call.
No, the cat in the litter box, yeah.
Are you guys actually doing something real to let Axel know where?
Classic question of handlers everywhere. What are you guys actually doing?
What are you guys actually doing?
Yeah, let's leave him actual DG, or whatever we know of Tradecraft. Leave him something that we think he'll know to us.
Okay, well, like, you know, like I mean, you might literally leave, like, a green triangle. you know, or like draw like a triangle on something. Like that's like pretty yeah. like on the nose, but at the same time, like if you're not in DG, then you wouldn't look specifically for it.
We do our phone number, but it's in the shape of a triangle, and we tape it to the
poem
side of the phone.
And there's definitely okay. the cat poem. It's important.
Okay.
Risky, but I like it.
And then yeah, so let's try to find guys... a wooded
and
area.
Then we could say for whatever his demon name was.
Farkas.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Let's go around. Let's drive around this podunk town and see if there's a heavily wooded area we think we can bury some bodies.
You're taking the cop car?
That is definitely not a problem.
You're taking the cop car? So do we have like an artificial police escort at this point with the jambulance and the car?
Yeah. Seems to be.
That's great.
Yes. You guys are... I'm going to say that you guys are probably a little bit... You probably are probably east of Angola, Indiana, on I-90. But you can definitely find your way off the beaten path. Kind of out into the middle of like some wooded areas.
There's some lakes.
It's pretty damn wooded. Where there's not farm fields, it's wooded.
Going to to Long Lake.
Long Lake. I'm not going to find that on my...
It's not very populated, and I believe that...
Well, you know, you guys are in 2015. You would literally have this on your phones and be able to look this up.
Yes.
Yeah, so we go there and...
weigh him down, strip him. Strip him naked, weigh him down, make him sleep with the fishes.
I mean, it's not Benedict, a bad way to manage it.
Benedict remembers this area because he just rolled an intelligence roll. And he believes he's been here before.
Okay. That you know of a remote
area. A nice remote area, super quiet. He went and had cocktails with his brother out here for sunset.
Sure. Okay, you guys, what is the plan? You guys are literally going to take them out to a lake and try to weigh them down with cinder blocks or something?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hank, stop by Home Depot, pick up some cinder blocks, and then also some C clamps. So here's how.
All right, be careful what you say next. That's hypothetically.
Not that I've done it in the past, but if I were to have done it,
right,
I would slip cinder blocks around their limbs and then clamp them onto
Would Benji,
as he says, with this. Put the lotion on its skin lighter.
I would say that like this is not a terribly technical thing. You know, you've got some pretty smart people here. You know, whether you're using ratchet straps or rope or chain or C-clamps or whatever you're doing, like, you can... And, you know, it wouldn't be that weird to go buy a Home Depot and to buy a whole bunch of cinder blocks. Like, that's not that odd.
Cool.
And she slips a cinder block over their arms and then takes a drill and fucking screws through their forearms and puts a lag bolt in.
All right.
And holds the cinder block on. And he...
Hank will search.
I also want to search Hank. Their bodies before we dump them.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we got a bunch of time, so...
Oh, we should absolutely take their uniforms.
Success.
Their uniforms are riddled with bullet holes and blood.
Benji, we can't do anything
Is it close to Halloween? We can have costumes.
Ooh.
I've got a fumble on my search.
Is that a fumble?
On a search. What does that mean?
On a search.
Your retina detaches.
I don't really know what a fumble on a search would mean. Like, I always want to punish you for fumbles, but it's like with a search, I think it'd be fine for now. I'll figure something out later.
But Hank got a success.
Hank, you are... We'll say that you guys have gone by like a local hardware store. You know, again, kind of out here in the middle of nowhere, and you have gotten some cinder blocks and stuff. You've gotten what you need to take these guys out to a lake. You know, and again, you kind of had this kind of pseudo police escort kind of looking thing. And while this is maybe happening, maybe Benedict, you're driving, and Hank is in the back. Hank, or you guys kind of get out here in the middle of the woods in a non-populated area, and Hank is opening this stuff up and looking at these guys. You reach in one of the shirt pockets of one of these quote-unquote police officers, and you pull out there's a little notepad that has the description of your van. It has the license plate. It says three occupants. It has descriptions of all three of you. It has the time that you crossed the state line, and it is perfect. It is looking back, like, you think this is exactly when you crossed the state line of Indiana.
Hank shows everybody, is like, this is kind of eerie.
That's not good.
I don't
think we have a tracker.
I appreciate that sanity check. Thank you.
Do you think we have a tracker on the car?
The last thing that you see is you see an address. You see an address for, I mean, you don't really know what it is, but you see that it says, arrest and take here.
So they weren't
necessary. Do we recognize that handwriting?
Ooh, that's a good question. Do you recognize the handwriting? If you ask that question, you still have Marbus's, or Dr. Barbus's, you still have his copy of the Ars Goetia, don't you? Ooh. I believe you do.
I have the Ars Goetia tattooed on my body.
I thought you had had his copy at some point. I'm going to say you have
it. Yes, we do.
For these purposes, yes. Because you said that, Dace, as Benji, you pull out this taped together version of the Ars Goetia that Barbus had had. And in the margins, all around this thing, you had seen many notes. But there were two hands. One of them, you're almost certain, is Barbus. This was the hand of the invitation you received originally. And stuff like that. The other one is an unknown handwriting. And these notes match that other set of handwriting in Barbus's Ars Goetia.
Is that from the exemplar that we originally got, the handwriting exemplar?
That is Barbus's.
Okay, I'm with you.
Handwriting is the exemplar.
So this matches the unknown person's handwriting.
This matches the unknown person's, yes.
It's got to be the director, right?
Or he was in cahoots with the girl that was digging a hole under her house as well.
Could be.
But she's dead now, right?
She got dealt with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, she was dealt with, all right. Mega dealt with.
It's got to be the director or the stage manager.
Okay.
Because they instructed the cops to arrest us at such and such time.
So where's that location?
Yeah, it does seem like there was a supernatural element to it if they know the exact time that we're crossing.
Definitely.
But
definitely.
Also, it's kind of like their whole stance has been kind of like, let us do our own thing, you know, without too much direction. So that seems odd.
Are we doing our own thing?
Right. But that's the question. So like that begs the question, why would they want to kidnap us? Because it's kind of like,
so that,
it's part of
that
the
we
play,
kill
Brad.
The two police officers so that we then come out to this area so that we find this note. Come on, keep up.
I don't think it's their style to do that.
No,
I think it's like,
yeah, I'm not sure who this is.
Something else.
I'm not sure. So do we have that location? We've effectively got the place where we were going to get kidnapped to.
Yeah, you have the place where it looks like these quote-unquote cops were going to take you. It's also worth noting these guys have no identification on them whatsoever. Like, it's like even the tags on their clothes have been removed. There is...
I think I know it's the fumble. The fumble's going to be Benedict is going to drop his ID card accidentally in one of the bodies.
Oh no.
That's
I love a good self nerf.
Where is the address?
I think that the fumble is going to be that there's nothing else you find on their bodies. That there might have been some other stuff, but that stuff is now gone. That maybe you dumped them, you know, kind of preemptively.
Okay.
How close is the address?
We're going to say it's within about probably a 30-minute drive from where you guys are now. And we're going to say it's 18 September. It's a Friday. And we're going to say by this time, it's probably getting close to dark. We're going to say it's probably about 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay.
Getting a little chilly here in the evening.
So we should get rid of
Hank,
these guys.
Benedict. Well, yeah, no, that's already done. Okay. Them dudes are sleeping with the fishes.
Yeah.
So we got this address. I'm thinking, what if we ambush the ambushees?
We're the ambushees.
Wait.
What?
I phrased that wrong, but you know what I'm saying. Language is fluid. It's descriptive, not prescriptive.
I think I get you.
As long as you understand what I'm trying to say.
Good buddy. We go investigate.
That means language is
these people at the ambush location.
Yeah.
I'm not opposed.
The joint. See what's going on.
I'm not opposed to
that. We got a firepower.
If it's on the way.
Especially since it's so close.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just right over there.
Yeah, look.
30-minute drive.
Look, it's right there.
We could get a couple burgers on the way.
Right.
Make a night of it. It's Friday.
Oh.
And how far are we
from turn up.
Chicago?
So
we're in Indiana. We're in Indiana. Okay.
Yeah, you're still in Indiana. Okay.
For those who aren't.
Let's make a road trip
American,
of it.
How far is that?
You're probably
for those who are American. How far is it?
Yeah. How far is it from you're from Chicago still?
Yeah.
It's probably a good long way. Still probably like another like probably 5 to 8 hours.
Okay.
Yeah. Then I'm definitely down for this because I mean we're not coming back to this area, but it will be risky, and they know what we're driving. So
maybe they were just going to take us to a nice hotel and we could get some rest. So we should definitely investigate.
Right. And we show up in the cop car. Maybe they don't even know who the cops look like.
Did you guys take...
Well, they know what we look like.
Driving the van and just like trailing behind like 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Park the cop car.
All right.
That person gets out.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. We can figure it out on the fly.
Yeah.
We'll do it live.
Actually, real quick. Hold on.
But y'all let's, saying you want to get some rest first? Stop. Yeah, let's stop here and, you know, around this town and get some rest probably before. Oh, you want to do that first? Okay.
Okay. I want to go there and figure out who is there. And, like, we have the advantage here. We can camp out. We can observe. We can case the joint. We can see what's going on. Like we have guns.
Gamble.
We have surprise on our side.
We don't know. If
Joe's smiling, and I don't like it.
I just had this idea of you guys like on your bellies, observing through binoculars.
Do we want to capture
one of us? And then just like beside you, like what are we looking at? Like it's just Axel.
Yes.
Okay, so y'all want to go there now? Let's do it.
Yeah.
All right,
let's go there.
Fine. But does anybody actually know what we look like? Because nobody has yet been able to recognize us. No, we're on the news, but every single time
I thought
we've
about
gone
that
places,
again.
Nobody's really recognized us or...
the Wookiee
trick.
Yeah,
the old Wookiee trick. Yeah.
Is it just you?
But the thing is, they probably know who they're going after, so they probably know what we look like.
All right,
they had descriptions
the
of us.
Location.
We just found that. So.
Drop location.
Oh.
We were on the news.
Disguise
is a skill. Us?
It was me, I think, or something like that. Yeah, my face was blurred out in the camera.
Yeah.
You
in the cockpit? Yeah.
Okay. The address that you guys get is, I mean, the gas station was a gas station kind of in the middle of nowhere, but just on a long stretch of highway. The lake that you chose for the secluded location to dump these bodies was in a secluded location. The place that this address is taking you is the secluded of the secluded. I mean, it's like it gets to the point where it doesn't even appear that there's any farm fields out here. I mean, it's Indiana. It's almost nothing but farms. But you get out to this place, and you're able to kind of drive by it, and it seems to be a place that has like an old cattle kind of gate across it, but the gate is open. And you see that down the end of a long drive, it's like a long like gravel road, off of the main highway, is something that is completely and utterly out of place. It is a big, square, gray building with the words stenciled across the front, State Police. No insignias, only an American flag flying out front, and probably two of these very similar kind of cars pulled out in front of it. And that's what you can kind of see from, like, the road.
Yeah.
So what is your intent?
Oh, man.
How far is it from the road? We could hike it. Pretty easily.
You could hike it. I mean, it's like in the middle of a big open field, not a farm, but just like a big open field with nothing in it. You think that they're, I mean, and you guys legitimately have like some weapons and stuff that have some pretty powerful scopes. I mean, you could probably find a way to observe this place from afar. If that's that your would intent. Be
my vote, yeah, would be to let's try to hike it, get some equipment and hike close enough. If we drive up with our cars, they're gonna know someone's there.
Can we just look through the scope from here?
Definitely.
Can we see anything through the scope? Can Benedict look through the scope and kind of?
You could. I imagine you hold up the rifle between the front two seats.
Yes.
Like, and you're like looking awkward. Out the windshield.
Yeah.
You're able to see. This is a powerful scope, and you're able to see that the place looks like it has its lights on. Inside, like you can see lights, and roll an alertness.
Is that
tell
me
what
sorry.
You get? That's you. Roll an alertness, please. Yes, if you're the one doing this.
Success 9 under 51 for once.
Nice.
You see the head of someone sitting at not just their head. They're not decapitated.
He loads the chamber.
Like, you see.
Instinctively.
you see the head of someone sitting at the desk, and they have a like a police kind of style ball cap on. But you're watching and you kind of pay attention to this person. They're very, very still. Like extremely still.
What the fuck?
And the longer you look, you're not sure this is a person at all. You think this might be some kind of dummy. In fact, you think this might be some kind of mannequin.
Oh, okay.
Here we go.
Dressed up as a police officer, sitting very, very still.
This is not a good place. Guys, that's a mannequin. There's a mannequin place, there. I don't think this is a real drop. I'm a little scared. Maybe we should just move on and not open this can of worms. I don't know what this is going to hold for us.
Yeah, if it's a mannequin, we can deduce it's not like some sect of Delta Green or some government agency. It does seem to be a supernatural element.
A supernatural thing, and I don't like the idea of being controlled. I ain't no puppet.
Hey, can I get that sanity check for Benedict, please?
Damn it. I thought he'd forget. Kidding. That's a failure.
Take one sanity damage, please.
I think we just move on. Let's move on from this place. I don't like it one bit. We have no reason.
Hell no.
We have no reason to be here. Benji, you sit your ass down. We don't need to be here. We have a mission. We need to get... Like, Benedict is scared at this point, and he doesn't want to fucking kick open the hornet's nest again.
Benedict, look, this is the mission.
What is the mission? What exactly is the mission, Benji?
You say this is unnatural? That's what you said, right?
Yes.
What is an unnatural thing doing in the physical, real world? This needs to be contained.
That is according to those...
What if somebody else stumbles upon
That's
this?
That's their business.
What if a civilian comes here?
You see a school bus unload and a load of children on the end of the road, and they begin to happily...
Watch that school...
Benji gets the AK-74 and mows him down.
So it's for your own good.
Benji, I see your point.
It's like nighttime now.
But counterpoint, this is no longer Delta Green business. We are not stopping any incursion. We are surviving. We're getting to the bottom of this, and we want to stop this. Stop it for us. That's my mission. My mission is to get the shit ended so that we can carry on with our lives.
All right, well, we
can... You want to get this shit ended? The only way we can do that is to go to the very top. We got to get to Carcosa and cut the snake's head off. Right.
If you...
Every single...
If you truly believe that this is going to be one of the top instead of the hotel, this weird staged mannequin nightmare trap that we were going to get ambushed into, then I'll follow you, buddy. But otherwise, we got business in Boston, in wherever the fuck we're going.
Yeah, we're going to interview some fucking theater kid. That's what we're going there for,
He's
right?
He's dead. The theater kid's dead.
Well, it's going to be a tough interview.
Well, the whole point, if I may interject, the whole point, break it up, you two. The whole point to go to Chicago was to find this, we need some entryway to get to this hotel. And this is obviously part of the play set. Let's just camp out a little bit longer and see what happens.
Okay.
Can we agree to that, Benedict?
I agree with this. I'm sorry, I got heated up. This is just... I don't want to do this again. We've had so many close calls. I want to live through this.
Hold my hand.
I will. He holds it.
Kiss me.
It's so clammy. Why are you so clammy?
Oh, your hand's so wet. There
while
is...
While we wait, can Hank take a... A look at this through
no,
the
it's mine.
Sniper scope.
Get your own.
Benedict slaps your hand.
Benedict is cracking.
You
hey, look at me, Benedict.
What?
Look at me.
What?
Look at me.
Benedict puts his shoulders,
so much
his
shit,
hands
Benji.
On Benedict's
what?
Shoulders.
I know, and there's so much more shit to go through, but it's gonna be all right. We got each other, right? And Hank. Gonna be all right.
Don't we touch me.
This. Hank, you look through the scope. You look at the building.
It's got like Benedict's hand yes. in one hand. And look at Benji patching him on the head.
So I'm gonna
We're
roll
so
a search.
Good at interaction.
Or alertness.
Roll me a search or an alertness.
I'll do alertness.
See how you do.
Success 20 under 77.
Hank, you are. You're taking a little bit more of a wider view, kind of, you do see the mannequin sitting there, except when you look, the mannequin's head is up and looking directly at you.
Oh, God.
Jesus.
And he rolls for sanity that
and
day.
You
stole my gun.
You quickly move away from that. You quickly move away from that, because that's weird. And you are surprised. There is something that you're very surprised to see. Coming around the building, and you think that maybe while you guys were having this confab, and actually walking down, it's probably like, I'd probably say like 100 meters worth, you know, of like kind of, well, probably more than that, probably like 100, 200 meters of like gravel road to this big building that's out here. You see walking up the road toward you, crunching on the gravel, are five figures.
Oh shit.
Each of them is wearing a long oiled trench coat.
Nice.
And each of them is wearing gas masks. Two of them are wearing what looks like old school, like World War II, Vietnam era army helmets, snapped underneath their chin by the chin straps. Looks like they have a mixture of shotguns and M1 carbines. Again, these old school kind of weapons. And they are crunch, crunch, crunching down. And just, they seem to be scanning. They seem to be scanning all around. Maybe there's a line of trees up one side of the road, and they're just kind of be kind of scanning as they go. They don't seem to have a particular place in mind, and they just look NPCs. Like they're very much it's like when you run upon the Thalmor in Skyrim, yeah. who are taking the prisoner, yes. and they're just on their way. Yeah. But they well, and the funny thing is, it's not unlike that. They seem to just kind of be on their way. They're about 100 meters away, and they're walking directly your direction. I assume you guys aren't parked right at the entrance of the road, that you're to the side a little bit or something, right? But they're walking down this gravel road.
Hank, what do you see? What are we doing?
We're going to have to make a decision fast, whether we want to try to find out more, sneak in here. I see 5 trench coat gas mask wearing probably mannequins coming down our way.
I don't think we stick around, guys.
So one of the things I rolled earlier is I rolled a luck roll. I rolled 2 luck rolls, actually, and both of them were failures. These guys are getting to the point where they're going to be imminently close enough to probably observe you.
Right.
Let's run them over.
Let's run them over. What are you doing?
We have to decide now. There's 3 Bandit, options.
I don't know how to drive. Can one of you get in the ambulance and run them over?
No, that was Finnegan. That's Finnegan. That's not Finnegan.
Benji can drive. Hank, make the choice, man.
Has Benji drove?
Yes, Benji. I'll make up. The. If I have that side road at the back of the house.
Yeah, you can drive.
If I have a say in it, I say we go stealthily. We move this car further down the road. We come in through the forest. We know where this area is. We have a general idea of how many people are NPCs, mannequins, whatever you want to call it here. Let's do the stealth route.
All right.
Because there could be something in here that gets us closer to the hotel.
Okay. Let's do it.
All right.
Agreed.
So you're going to basically try to pull away and get to a different vantage point before you think these guys can see you.
Come in through the woods, you know, not down the main.
You pull away in the... You have both the cop car and the van. You pull away. And who's in the cop car?
Hank.
I believe.
It's Hank and Benji, okay. Isn't it?
Well. Benji would be in the van now. Benji was in the cop car to search it.
Right.
Cool.
When we were talking. So he'd be in the van.
Hank,
now.
You take, again, you're in like this SUV and you kind of take off, you know, to try to get some distance from this place. Benji, you pull the van out behind the police car, behind a Tahoe.
Can't drive, but okay.
And you've seen it on movies. It's not, doesn't look too hard. but you look in the rearview mirror and you see, right as you're about to pull off of, and you see the first person, the first trench coat wearing, you know, one of these patrollers stepping out onto the road, and he looks both ways and lingers just a moment toward the direction. I mean, you're like literally leaving like a cloud of dust behind you. His head kind of lingers that direction, and then he makes a hand motion, you know, kind of like a forward hand motion, and they walk across the road and into the brush, still scanning, still patrolling. And about that time, Benji receives a phone call.
All right. Yeah.
Yep.
Hello.
Benedict activates the radio so Hank can hear.
You're on speakerphone.
You're on speakerphone. Don't say nothing that you wouldn't want somebody else to hear.
We're going to say it's about 1900. It's about 7 o'clock at night at this point in time. It's starting to get pretty dark. It's, if not completely dark, by the time you guys pull up.
I don't
up
do
in this...
commie time. It's 7 o'clock. It ain't 1900.
Commie time. You hear the voice on the other hand.
Just go down that road you're going on now. Gonna be a grain silo off to your left. I'm waiting.
Click.
Nope.
Nope, I've already hung up. I made the click sound with my mouth, but I'm still hanging up.
Yeah.
Nope. I'm just that bit explaining it.
The click sound.
It is a click. We're... You didn't actually hang up. That's crazy, man.
Don't you question my methods. Who's the demon here? Click.
She just said click again. You didn't hang
God
up,
damn it. Just get down.
All right, I'm gonna hang up now.
Okay,
click.
Shit, I just said click.
Did you hang up? Okay, you hang up the fucking phone.
That to me. Like,
all right,
almost smashes the phone.
Over. Hand it to Benedict.
Over.
All right.
So
grain silo.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Benji tells Hank and Benedict.
he doesn't just go by himself.
No.
I'm following you.
All right, we'll go that way.
He's behind
you. Yeah.
Just got a call from Axel. He said, go down the road, and there's going to be a grain silo, so...
You...
How do y'all feel about that?
Fine. Let's do it.
Splendid. Never felt better.
Never felt better about it.
Okay.
You get down...
It's that classic point in the session where everybody's just like... Let's just fucking do it. Let's just fucking go.
You go about 5 minutes down the road, and sure enough, you see an ancient-looking grain silo with vines growing up the side of it. Several of the panels on both the top of the dome and all the way up and down missing. Right next to a dilapidated building that's long fallen in on itself. Probably some type of grain elevator or barn. You're unsure. But... Standing out like a bright, shining beacon in a dark sky is a bright pink and yellow van.
Whoa.
And down, it's parked at the bottom of the silo, and you see that there is a door at the bottom of the silo that is been propped open with a rock, and the van is just parked there by it. As you pull up, you do not see anyone.
Gonna give a little hoot. Beep beep.
I thought you meant literally you were gonna hang your head out the window and go, woo!
No, no, not like a
like an owl.
Yeah, I love your car. No, beep beep.
Flashlights.
Yeah. Nothing. And it is dark. It is dark. You can just barely make out this grain silo kind of standing up in the darkness. Nothing. No response.
I can watch from the car. All right. Maybe have the headlights on the... If you two want to go in.
Okay. You're going to look after my sniper rifle for me?
I have Well, I suspect we should go in armed, just in case. And, well, Hank has a pretty... You're pretty good with guns, ain't you?
Yep.
I reckon. You want me to come in? Is that what you're
saying? Two people with AK-74.
Well, we don't know where there's going to be murders
committed. All right.
Again today.
I'll come in with you. But I'll just take my heavy pistol. He saddles that up.
All right, so you guys are going to ease your way in?
Yeah.
Just like it.
Go ahead and make me that alertness check, whoever's heading inside.
I think we all are. We're doing like a slow-mo walk. Like real
failure
badasses.
For Hank.
Let's see.
Successful Benedict, 35.
And a fumble for Benji.
All right. So you guys, for those of you who... Benji, you hear nothing. You have...
sudden tinnitus.
What is it?
Shit, I'm deaf.
No, what is it? What is it called? What's that song by Celine Dion?
My heart will go on.
Yeah, you have a heart. My heart will go on stuck in your head, and you just cannot get it out. You might as well have been flashbanged. And he's also humming it to himself as he goes. As he's.
This scenario. Why?
Hank, you ease open. Hank, are you? Is Hank going first? Who's going first?
Yeah, that makes sense. Hank always goes first. from a game perspective, because he's
tell
like,
me what happens.
Yes, Hank will go first.
Benedict
all right,
second.
You reach a hand forward and push the door open, and you see that yes, this appears to be the inside of a grain silo, but there also looks to have been a piece of tin sitting over what is now a set of stairs going down. This is not a typical grain elevator kind of thing. This is not a typical grain silo kind of thing. And you see that down at the bottom, you see like a flickering fluorescent light.
This might be the green box. Hank will, if he doesn't see anything odd besides that at a glance, he'll continue down the stairs.
Benedict, you do hear the sound of what sounds like someone, like if you didn't know better, you'd sound like the someone maybe like shifting a little bit in like a metal folding chair or something, like that kind of sound, that kind of like you can just barely make it out, or even the sound of someone like a deep sigh. It sounds like someone might be smoking a cigarette down there.
He's gonna call out, "Hello, hello,
come on in, water's fine."
That'll probably...
Axel, is that you, brother?
Ooh, yeah, it is.
Hank chuckles at that. Hank continues down.
Yeah, we go down.
We should go down, right?
He's our friend.
Yeah, you guys make it down, and you're completely not expecting whatever's about to happen.
Okay.
You make it down, and you see that down here is a very small room, probably 10 feet by 10 feet. And sitting in the middle of it on a folding chair is none other than Axel Armstrong. His hair is tied back in a bun, his long hair, his beard is down there, and he has what appears to be like, he has one of those like American flag bandanas. And he's wearing sunglasses inside in this flickering fluorescent room. Sitting across his lap is what looks to be a Mac 10 with a long ass silencer hanging off the front of it. And he just holds one hand on it as you enter in the room.
Axel, you look cool as hell all the goddamn time. How do you do this? You're just cool as hell, man.
I really appreciate it.
You look cool as hell all the goddamn time.
I want to let you know, brothers, I'm glad you called me. I wasn't sure how long I was going to be keeping up this charade, if you know what I'm saying.
What are you saying, brother?
I believe it's pronounced charade.
He looks really hard at you for a long time and doesn't say anything.
It was in the script.
It was misspelled on script.
He stands up kind of briskly, cigarette hanging out of his mouth.
You ain't gonna be able to find me again, Benjamin Potts. You're lucky this was in your cards.
What are we doing here, Axel? Are we going to be cool?
Oh,
yeah,
we're
you're scaring
cool.
me.
I'm doing the coolest thing for you I can, brother. I'm leaving. And I'm leaving with all three of you alive.
Are you taking us, or are we going somewhere? I'm confused.
Oh, no. We're going our separate ways. I got a call from the boss man. Said you need a bit of a pick me up. He forwarded me your call.
The boss man? Who you talking about? The director?
The king.
Oh.
The king.
Bael? You talking about Bael?
King Bael.
Okay.
He's calling the shots.
Interesting.
So, why'd you do us a solid?
Don't worry about that. Needless to say, you ain't gonna see me again. And that's all you need to know.
He starts to like walk past you. He's like, "The green box is there. Got some doohickeys for you. takes them. He's he just kind of he has like a bit of like a shoulder sling on the Mac, on the Mac 10. He just kind of hangs it over his shoulder.
Good luck to you, M-Cell. You are gonna fucking need it.
Axel, wait, you're cool as hell, but why are you leaving like this?
Because if I stay any longer, Benedict Farthington, if I stay any longer, they're gonna ask me why I didn't kill you.
There it is.
Who is they?
You're standing in a fucking green box. Figure it out.
And he opens the door and steps through.
Hey, Axel.
God damn it, I made my exit.
is there any chance that
you hear the van crank
if
up?
If we play a different module, that you'll be a guest star as a PC instead of an NPC?
It depends if Joe gets to play anytime soon. I'm leaving.
All right, make your grand exit. Sorry.
Gosh, you hear, dang, that man is cool as hell.
You hear so Guns N' Roses appetite. You hear Guns N' Roses' appetite for destruction crank up on the stereo as you hear gravel fly as he burns rubber, as you hear the van leave.
That man makes me want to be cooler than I am.
Was assigned to kill us, but he did us a solid, and why did he do that?
Well, it's that answered quite a few questions. We know for sure that Delta Green's after us, trying to kill us, but
the director is also trying to get us on track.
Yeah, they have the director. Bile has control over these demons, and they, at the flip of a switch, they could become part of the play or go back to whoever they were in reality, it seems.
As you guys are talking about this, you're standing there still in this small room, and you see that sitting on a what looks like there's like a few boxes, like those plastic tubs, like storage tubs. You see it sitting on top of one of them is a small box with a little heart on it, and it just says, it has a heart, and underneath it says Axel.
Let's open it.
Okay, Benji goes over and opens it.
We're all
How much lethality damage do you think a claymore does?
We just want to get the gift. You all die. Axel.
I trust Axel implicitly. I don't give a fuck.
You open it and see what Benji would not know as, but as maybe Benedict, but almost certainly Benedict would probably know this. He sees what he knows to be some style of Russian pistol, which is actually a CZ-75, which is a 9mm pistol with a silencer attached to it and a magazine full of rounds in it. But this one has down on the side of it, down the pistol grip, it has engraved in it, again, good luck, you'll need it, and then another little heart and Axel.
Oh, I call dibs. This one's mine. And he's going to like hold it to his chest.
I want to roll an occult on the pistol.
Okay.
It's still mine.
I don't know if this is completely stupid.
I'll let you see it.
That's fine. I've got it. You can look fine. At it. I just want to know if it's imbued with some sort of,
I need
you
to
know.
Be clear. This is mine.
Oh man.
So wait, he added the pistol to the board? Is that what you said?
I had a 97 on a 90.
Yeah, you did.
That's a failure sucks. For a cult, but I'm going to check it, and I'm going to get better at it. Yeah, and also, there's some Murata that we need to talk about, Joe.
A bit of a wisdom push. Sorry.
Do you want to push
it? Yeah. I mean, fucking willpower, not wisdom. Burn some willpower?
I'm not going to do it for this.
But you,
I'm not gonna
you
do
have
it for
this pistol, and then, but as you're looking through this, you guys see this, and Benedict comes over and says, dibs, and takes it from you, I guess. whatever happens.
That's why I fumbled, because Benedict just snatched it out of my hands when I was looking at it.
Hank, behind the door, there is something underneath a tarp. And as these two are messing with this, I imagine Hank pulls off this sheet, and you see that there is an old school CRT television VCR combo set up on what looks like an oil drum. And sitting on top of it, there is, looks to be a VHS with a hand-labeled note on the side of it.
What's it say?
It says XXX. It's porn.
It says, a song before travel.
Hmm.
Okay.
Gotta watch that.
What do you fellas think?
It's Axel. We have to look at all the gifts he's left for us. In fact, like, I want to go and see if there's anything else around this place. Rummages through. Okay, so
Hank puts in the tape.
We gotta watch it.
Hank puts in the tape.
Wait, did you rewind it?
You gotta rewind it. It's gonna take like 10 minutes.
Pencil. You gotta rewind it. If you
press stop and rewind so we don't see it.
Stop.
Yeah.
Yeah, and don't press play. If you push stop, it'll rewind faster.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm gonna do.
Okay. All right.
You hit play, and it appears that this has been taped over. This tape has been from something else. It's been taped over, maybe like an old like aerobics workout VHS. I know it's an old Matlock VHS, and it starts off with an episode of Matlock, and then it very quickly shifts, and you see what appears to be from the camera's perspective, it appears to be inside of a small auditorium, and you see a groups of people kind of milling around and talking, and then you see the lights go down on
this
the TV.
This is the tape of the Chicago Boys play.
And on the screen, you see, or in front of the screen, you see a young man walk out, and he looks frazzled. His hair is everywhere, and he's wringing his hands. But his eyes are wide, and his smile is huge. And he's like, thank you everyone for coming today. My premiere, you know, and it's all like glitchy and jaggy in the way like an old VHS is. He says, I just want to thank you for coming. And without further ado, I would like to present to everyone a piece that I was inspired to create, A Song Before Travel. And there's like some vague dispersed clapping. And Benji, you see down in the front row in a wheelchair, you see the back of who you are certain is T Model Ford.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And you see that, you know, the film begins to show, and it's a very like kind of artsy odd piece where there's not really like specific characters. But everything about it gives all three of you the same kind of uncomfortable feeling that you got watching the clown do its dance on the stage.
Oh, I don't like this.
That everything is simultaneously symbolic, but also bizarre and unwieldy. And about that time, you hear screaming. First a woman, and then multiple people. As the camera gets like jostled around, and you see three figures bolt from behind the screen, basically knock the screen down almost, and bolt across the entire stage where this is being filmed, and dispersing out into the audience. And it's dark and you can't see them. It happens so fast. And the last thing that shows right before the camera cuts off, like camera literally falls to the side and cuts off, is you see these gas mask wearing, trench coat wearing people storm out onto the stage and begin firing into the audience. Oh. Blam! Blam! And then the video tape goes to static.
Are these troopers an archaic version of Delta Green?
And that,
Benedict,
is probably a good place to stop.
Takes the VHS out and smashes it. He smashes it. He smashes it.
These troopers, they come in and they assassinate a crowd of people that have seen the contaminated plague.
Okay.
Are they trying to contain the situation? No.
This is good sanity check content. Is what it is. We should talk about this on the sanity check.
All right. Very nice.
All right, everyone listening, everyone watching, thank you so much. We really, really appreciate your incredible patronage. I hope you enjoyed getting to see Axel again. It was starting to hurt my throat.
Certainly did.
Doing that voice.
Oh, yeah.
but I'm glad we got to do it. I'm also glad things are continually getting more and more bizarre with this group. But yeah, I'm enjoying it a lot.
Yeah, it's cool.
Everyone listening, everyone watching, again, thank you. If you want to support us, please follow us on our socials and whatnot. Mention us to a friend. Leave us a review. It's on Spotify and Apple. We actually, and just recently, started uploading our stuff regularly. It's going to should be going straight to YouTube Music. That's the because Google Podcast is going away. So YouTube Music is going to be taking its place if you consume things that way. But if you really like it, want to get it a week early, please consider going to Patreon, throwing us $3 a month. It really helps out and helps us do this. But yeah, guys, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Yeah, thank you, Joe. Yeah. That was cool.
Back at you.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
It's about time.
I want to give a shout out to... I'm trying to find their username.
Oh, is this on Reddit?
Yeah.
Here, let me...
Oh, let me fuck.
Let me help you.
I can't
with that.
Find the username.
Hold on.
But somebody specifically requested that I DM game, and I appreciate you, and I hear you, and I try to reply you, but I accidentally posted on the general thread instead of your specific comment.
Oh yeah, you did. Yeah,
because I'm a Luddite. But I appreciate the vote of confidence.
That is Prof.
And I wish I could find
Prof
your username.
Plum and Library.
All right.
Yes, that is it. Professor Plum.
Okay.
Are you going to...
There we go.
Do it? Are you going to answer the request?
That comment genuinely inspired me to crack open my Eberron book. And then I realized that there is not, in fact, a module in the back of it. It's just like suggestions for how to run the campaign. So
it
really did
a rando to say this and not your friends and family to encourage you
to
start a campaign.
Actually, yeah. Yeah. 100%.
Well, Professor Plum, thank you for inspiring Dace, and maybe we can get
thanks for that comment.
Get that D&D thing going.
It's got my gears running.
Yeah.
I'm brainstorming a homebrew world. I'll get back to you in 3 years.
Well, yeah, it's a start. It's a start. But guys, thank you very much. Thank you for always.
Thank you,
you're
Joe.
Always a. You're always. You're not okay. You're not always a pleasure to work with, but it's always fun in the end.
And Joe, you are always honest, and that's what I appreciate about you.
Well, it's just so honest.
All right, guys. We will catch you next time. Thank you so much for joining us. And remember, as always, stay safe and stay sane. Bye.
Ta-ta.
Later.
Adios.